All right, everybody, welcome back to Classroom 33, the podcast. Pastor Dustin again here with Steve Prudian, and today we are taking a break out of Job, and we're switching gears a little bit.
Job will be present, though.
Job will be present.
Job will be present.
Okay. So we're taking a break out of Job. Job will still be present, but we are looking at shifting gears a little bit and transitioning into a little bit of a different phase of the study. So this is what you're calling your weird week. And we have this to, you're setting this up just to kind of break things up, to introduce the next section, to kind of get rid of that rut that we tend to get into. We've been studying Job, you guys have been going through for a while now on these topics, and it's time to shake things up. It's time to reawaken, realiven, and re-energize and reinvigorate for the study. So I think it's a great plan, and I have in front of me what you've given me, and it is a sermon entitled, That's My King. Tell me just a little bit, give me a little background on this.
Well, Dustin, is actually, that's the second part of what we're going to do this Sunday.
Okay.
The emphasis of this particular sermon goes back to something even far greater than this particular topic, That's My King.
Okay, tell me about it.
We go back to the struggle, the fight that Jesus Christ had with Satan. And if you recall, Jesus was fighting Satan for over 40 days and 40 nights.
I do recall that.
And then then throughout his whole ministry, the opposition that he had, even though it appeared to be from men, it was really the power of Satan influencing men.
I would agree with that.
And the reality is that what we're going to do on Sunday is we are going to play an old concert, one song from an old concert called The Champion by Carmen that was done probably about 1983.
Okay.
And you are going to see the conflict between Satan and Jesus Christ. But the very reason we go to church and we worship Jesus Christ is because he won. He's the champion, and we follow the champion. Another word for champion is king. And Jesus Christ is our king. But many times we lose sight of who Jesus Christ is, and we just see him as the Son of God, as the Savior. He just has a little part. Or maybe he isn't such a little part, but the thing is over time we become comfortable. And right, even if we have known about the power and the glory of Jesus Christ, in many cases, we do not know much about his kingship. And so, therefore, the second part of what we're going to do on Sunday is learn about the kingship of Jesus Christ.
And it's a greatly important topic, and I'm really glad that you're covering it. I think it's going to be an awesome discussion. This printout is a list of, and it's certainly not exhaustive of all the things that Jesus is, but oh man, is there a list here of all of the things, and these are all things that Jesus is. So he's the King of the Jews, King of Israel, King of righteousness, King of ages, King of heaven, King of glory, King of kings, Lord of lords. That is pretty powerful way to start out, wouldn't you agree?
That's not the end.
I know that's not the end. That's the start.
I want you to take a look at the last page.
All right, last page.
But I will say this, all right, is that Jesus never ends.
Never, ever.
Never, ever ends.
No, he doesn't. And let's see, what is it? This last little bit. Sorry, we just keep flipping through papers here looking at this.
Well, actually, It's a good thing I know where this goes, because your copy got cut off.
I do have a different one here.
Yes, so. You do have a different one. I want you to read this part right here, Dustin, because this is the most important part of the whole message.
Okay. So this is the most important part
right.
of the whole message, which it's at the end. Makes sense. You put the most important stuff at the end. So, that's my king. Praise the Lord, that's my king. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. The glory is all his. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all of the forevers, then, amen. Can you tell I like that part?
I like that. Do you know what amen means?
Amen is, Jesus uses it a lot to say, truly I tell you, amen.
It also means, so be it.
So be it.
So be it. It's settled. It's pretty much written in stone.
It is done.
It is done.
Very cool. Very, very cool. And powerful. So I'm going through this list this morning, and it really is humbling and invigorating.
It's a once in a lifetime. Most people have never ever heard this. This was actually considered one of the greatest sermons ever preached. And it was preached by a black pastor in San Diego, California. And last week, we had something about Sundays coming. He is the same pastor who wrote, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." And Carmen took that sermon, and he turned it into a concert.
Wow. So there's a lot being tied in here with some of the stuff that you've been doing, which is really cool. It's really awesome. I kind of want to look at this third set here. And here, I've got two copies. I've got one where stuff's cut off and one where it isn't.
I also have one here as well.
Oh, you've got one too? Okay. Let's both use the one where it doesn't have stuff cut off on the bottom. All right. So this third set, he's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. Imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Now, in the context of today's world, this is big. This is really important that we are reminded today and always that there's a foundation that is the world that is crumbling underneath our feet. But we have a foundation in Christ that is enduringly strong and eternally steadfast. That foundation is not going to move. He is going to be there forever. And if we are on that foundation, the world is going to crumble. We know that. Jesus said it. It's in the Gospels. It's in Revelation. It's from beginning to end. We know that there is an end to the world that we live in at some point. And having this foundation and just that reminder here is really important. And entirely sincere. I like that wording. Really like that wording. Because Jesus he loves you. Not because he's supposed to love you. He's not giving you the impression that he loves you and then turning around and gossiping behind your back. He is entirely, totally sincere. What he says is what he means. and what he means is what he says. His words and his actions are perfectly combined. There is no separating what he says from what he does. And quite frankly, we get this wrong a lot of the time as human beings. I want to love somebody. I try to love somebody. And it's hard because I'm fighting those thoughts and those negative things in my head because, you know, there's, you know, for sometimes for stupid reasons. I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes it's hard to like somebody because of the way they comb their hair. Just because we're human. And you try to get past that and you try to be sincere. And a lot of the times we ask Jesus for help and we have success. And that's a good thing, but Jesus doesn't need that help. He looks at us and he sees exactly who we are. He doesn't see the clothes we're wearing. He doesn't see our hair. He doesn't see any of that stuff. And having it written here, he is entirely sincere, embodies all of that in three words. It's just impressive. So I think that, if nothing else, that's the reason to go to this class this week, is to talk about all of these short, little snippets of who Jesus is and to see just how much they contain.
One of the things that makes this actually very simple, the title of this message is That's My King.
Right.
The title of the message that you should have is Jesus Loves Me. Because that's your king. Jesus loves you, and that's your king. Do you know that Jesus has promised that he would never, ever leave you or forsake you?
I do, but some people don't, and it's a good message that we continue to get out there and get to people.
The reason people worry and take things into their own hands is as they think that they're all alone.
Right.
They don't remember that Jesus says, I'm right here. I said I'd never leave you, and I never forsake you. He says, but I'll tell you what. He said, I'll make you another promise. I'm coming again. And I am your king.
Yes, he is. And you're absolutely right. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. I can think of a time in my life where I had taken my eyes off of Jesus, and you know, it's not really unlike Peter when he gets out of the boat and he's walking on water and he's focused on Jesus. And this is, you know, this is not calm seas. There's waves, there's a storm happening. So he is out in the dark of night in this storm, walking on top of these rolling waves, these crashing waves, and he's got his eyes on Jesus and he's not having any problems. But he starts to doubt, and he takes his eyes off of Jesus, and he starts to sink. Jesus doesn't turn and walk away. He doesn't. He actually moves to be directly next to Peter in order to pull him up when Peter says, Lord, help me. I'm drowning. And, you know, go back. I had that time in my life where I took my eyes off of Jesus. I tried to do it all on my own. I tried to go my own way. And I drowned. And the last little bit of my fingertip was above water. And the whole time, Jesus is standing right there waiting for me to say, Lord, help me. And as soon as I realized what I needed and that I needed Jesus, immediately grabbed me, picked me up, put me right back on the water. And I haven't left his side since. I don't want to sink again.
Jesus loves you, Dustin. Satan hates you, Dustin. And somewhere between the Jesus who loves me, there is lurking the Satan who hates me. But that isn't even close, because he really doesn't hate me. He hates God. Only thing that we represent to him is we represent the fact that we belong to God. So he afflicts God by afflicting us. And that is the story of Job. He affects God. He actually wants to defame God by proving that God's selected person can't take it, that he'll turn on God. But the end of the story is God wins. Job is restored.
Yep.
Jesus is a form of Job. It looks like he's defeated, but he wins. And because he wins, that's my king, because we win.
Amen. Amen. And yeah, you're absolutely right. The devil hates us, and he hates God, and he hates all of God's creation. And he attacks us to get to God. And sometimes we let it. Sometimes we let that happen. And sometimes he uses other people to attack us. He doesn't just do it directly all the time. It's not all intrusive thoughts in our heads and pervasive negativity and things that we struggle with getting rid of that amazingly disappear every time you pray. But sometimes he uses other people.
Do you know what that's called, Dustin?
What is that called, Steve?
It's called minion moments.
Ooh, I have not heard that title
before. Yes, but we're told to take dominion over the minion moments.
I like that. I like that. I'm going to have to write that down and use that at some point, because that's really good. I was actually going to tie that into Job's friends, because they are part of Job's trial.
Oftentimes we have friends who mean well, but they don't know how to do well. And Job had to deal with these friends for 3 months. He had to listen to their talking. He had 1 week that they didn't talk, the first week they arrived. And then after that, they just kept on talking and talking and talking. And Job kept on saying, "It wasn't me."
You know, this is a little bit of a shift in our conversation, but you know, I can think of a number of times where the best thing that I could have done for somebody was just to sit next to them silently and just be there with them in their time. And I screw it up by talking. So, I mean, there is a life lesson in that. In our ministering to people, when we don't know what to say, clam up.
You know that God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason.
I've heard that.
If so, you can do more listening than talking.
I have heard that. Now, if I can ever get that to sink in, I'll be a better person for it. All right. What else do you got for me, Steve?
Well, I like to always do a preview of what's coming up in the following after this lesson.
Okay. Let's have it.
Jesus said that one of the signs of his coming, that he will come as in the days of Noah. We're going to be looking at what the days of Noah looked like 2 coming weeks after this week.
Okay.
Now, I want you to understand this, okay? The population in the time of Noah was millions of times smaller than the population we have today. So if you take and you multiply out the amount of violence and wickedness on the earth, we have far exceeded what God put up with in the days of Noah.
Yes, we have.
The rationale to that is that we should be looking up because our redemption is drawing near.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, that's a great preview, and it's going to be a great lesson this week. I'm hoping that you listening out there, you're getting excited for it and looking forward to seeing more of this list of who Jesus is and discussing all these different things, as well as hearing that part from Carmen, the champion. So, Steve, thank you very much for coming in and
I want to say one more thing.
Yes, sir.
Even though Room 33 is a discussion class, it's also a place of ministry. We pray for each other and each other's needs before the class dismisses. It doesn't matter what the content is of the day. What matters is what Jesus can do for you that day.
I think that's a great spot to end. And prayer is always a great place to begin or end, especially in classes like that. So, Steve, again, thank you very much for coming in. A joy as always.
My pleasure. Thank you, Dustin.
Thank you.